Hi, good morning, and welcome to Union Congregational Church, where no matter who you are or where you are in your life's journey, you are welcome here. My name's Pastor Tori, and this is my living room. I know with today's circumstances, we need to do things a little bit differently. And so we are having church in my living room, but as we all know, that the church is not a building, church is people. And when two or more are gathered in Christ's name, that is where God is, in the midst of them. So I'd like to welcome you this morning to our church service. There's a couple things that I want to tell you before we get started. Number one, the screen behind me, this is kind of experimental. I'm not sure if we're going to continue to use this or not. I know the camera zooms in and out and unfocuses and focuses depending what's in front of the camera. So if you like it, please let me know. If you don't like it, let me know that too. We can do either. And then also, people have been asking about offering time and where to send money. And we know that because we're not taking offerings every week, we're not given the opportunity to give. And so if that is something that you want to do, you can just send your checks to the church. The address is on the Facebook page, it's on the website. And you can just write in their attention, financial secretary, and that will get to where it needs to go. And then also, during this time with circumstances being as they are, I've had to kind of re-pick up gifts that I have left back in years past. I know that when I entered seminary, life was jam-packed with things, and so there were some things that I needed to give up. Guitar and music was one of them. And so with all of this happening around us, the guitar and music is something that I've had to pick up again. And that has been kind of a blessing, but it's also been very weird for me, and I'm very self-conscious about it. And so if I screw up today, just keep singing, and we'll get through it. So hopefully that will go well. And please enter with me into a call to worship that will be up on the screen, and we can read that together. God, be with us today. Even though many of us are apart from one another, we know your Holy Spirit connects us. Surround us with your presence. We know it doesn't matter what our circumstances are. You deserve our praise and our worship, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. There is a song. Some of you may know this song, and some of you may not, and we'll do it slow at first, but I would like to teach you this song because this is one of those songs that kind of remind us that in the good times and in the bad times, no matter what we go through, God deserves to be blessed, and his name deserves to be praised. And this song is called Blessed Be Your Name, and I want to go through the words with you. This, what is on the screen right now, is going to be your part, and I'll help you sing that, and then I'll do the verses. But I want to have you read the verses before we do them. And I'll read them out loud to you. And the first verse is, Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. And then the second verse is, Blessed be your name when the sun is shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. And blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. And I would like to teach you this chorus so that you can sing. And we'll go slow. Some who know this song will go, why is she going so slow? It's because a lot of people in my congregation probably don't know this. And so we're gonna go pretty slow. I gotta get the music up ahead of me here. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. You got that? All right, we're going to do it one more, a little bit faster. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. This is your part. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Hear you, but I know you did great. Our scripture today is in John 6:22-51, and it should be up on the screen behind you if I can get this thing working. And this story, Wednesday, if you listened to the Lent service, we did the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 and then going up to the mountain and praying, and then coming down and sending his disciples ahead before he went up on the mountain. And this is kind of right around that same time when the people realize that Jesus is gone and that the boat is gone, and they're trying to figure out where Jesus is. And on Wednesday, we did the version, it was the Gospel of Matthew, and we did Matthew's version of that story. And today, this is the Gospel of John. And so we get a little bit of a different take on what happened right after that. And so it's John 6, 22 through 51. The next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the lake realized that only one boat had been there. They knew Jesus hadn't gone with his disciples, but that the disciples had gone alone. Some boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they had eaten the bread over which the Lord had given thanks. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus replied, "I assure you that you were looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate all the food that you wanted. Don't work for food that doesn't last, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the human one will give you. God the Father has confirmed him as his agent to give life." They asked, "What must we do in order to accomplish what God requires?" Jesus replied, "This is what God requires, that you believe in him whom God sent." They asked, "Well, what miraculous sign will you do that we can see and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, just as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" And Jesus told them, "I assure you, it wasn't Moses who gave the bread from heaven to you, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. The bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives you life to the world." They said, "Sir, give us this bread all the time." And Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I told you that you have seen me, and you still don't believe. Everyone whom the Father gives to me will come to me, and I don't send away anyone who comes to me. I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the one who sent me, that I won't lose anything he has given me, but I will raise it up at the last day. This is my Father's will, that all who see the Son and believe in him will have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." The Jewish opposition grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread of life that came down from heaven." They said, "Isn't this Jesus, Joseph's son, whose mother and father we know? How can he now say, 'I come down from heaven'?" And Jesus responded, "Don't grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless they are drawn to me by the Father who sent me, and I will raise them up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they will all be taught by God.' Everyone who has listened to the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. And I assure you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that whoever eats from it will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I give, that I will give for the life of the world, is my flesh." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. When I was in grade school, we played kickball. And my guess is that you played kickball at recess too. And at one of these recess times, we decided to play a game. And we didn't have real bases at our school. First base was a pole that was part of the school, and it jetted out kind of like an overhang of the school. And it was like this metal pole. And that was first base. And then we had second base, which was a tree. And then we had third base, which was another tree. And then we had home plate, which was another tree. And so most of the field was kind of a blacktop. And so there wasn't any sliding, but we made it work. The ball we used was one of those red rubber balls that whenever you threw it at somebody or whenever you got hit with it, it would not only hurt, but it would leave a big welt on you. That was the ball we used. And I remember picking teams one day at recess, and I had a debate with my cousin. And we debated about how far I could kick the ball. And I was feeling pretty confident that day, and I said, I bet I could kick the ball past second base. And then my cousin looked at me and said, oh yeah, I bet I could kick the ball past second base and past the blacktop into the grass. And then I said, oh yeah, I bet I could kick the ball past second base, past the blacktop, into the grass, and past the swing set. And my cousin looked at me and said, oh yeah, prove it. Prove it. I lost that game. Now I had the pressure on me to prove what I said that I could do. So I got up to the plate, which was a tree, and the ball came rolling in, and I took three big steps and I kicked it as hard as I possibly could, and the ball flew into the air past second base. It hit the edge of the blacktop and started rolling into the grass, and it rolled and it rolled and it rolled. And then Jimmy Cunningham scooped up the ball and he threw it in, and they got me out at third base. I was out. Prove it. Prove it. Well, if it wasn't for Jimmy Cunningham, I would have proved it. Our scripture today is a story of Jesus saying that he is the bread of life. And much like that kickball game, Jesus was being asked to prove himself. But before we get into all that, I kind of want to put this story more into context. As I said before, this was kind of the where Jesus was feeding the 5,000. And the feeding of the 5,000 with the few loaves and a few fish. And after Jesus fed the crowd, he dismissed them and he put the disciples in a boat and he sent them back to Capernaum. Meanwhile, Jesus went up onto a hillside to pray and just to get alone and to be by himself. And about 3 a.m, Jesus came down and he saw that the disciples that were in the boat that he sent away earlier that evening was out on the sea, and the waves were just crashing into that boat and hammering the boat. And this is where Jesus walked out on the water to them. And now, in the story that we have today, it is the next morning. The disciples are gone, Jesus is gone, and the people are looking for Jesus. And Jesus is nowhere to be found. And we read in verses 25 through 27, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus replied, I assure you that you were looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate all the food that you wanted. Jesus was challenging the crowd to look past their stomachs and into who Jesus is. Not just what he does, but who he is. And Jesus also stated that God gives eternal food and eternal bread. And no one, when they eat this eternal food, grows hungry. It is who Jesus is, not what he does, that's important in this story. Then in verse 28, people ask, what exactly does God want us to do? And you can kind of see and follow the train of thought of the crowd, where they say, okay, Jesus, so if it's not about what you do, then what can we do? And Jesus answered, God wants you to have faith in the one God sent. And what was their response? In verse 30, what miracle will you do so that we can have faith in you? What will you do, Jesus? Prove it. And then the crowd brings up their ancestors who wander through the desert. They were given manna to eat. God gave them bread from heaven. And it makes me wonder what they were thinking. You gave us bread yesterday. Jesus, that's what you did. You gave us bread yesterday. So maybe you can do the same thing for us today. Show us. Prove to us that you are who you say you are. And maybe if you do more things for us, maybe we'll believe more. Jesus clarifies the crowd statement and says, Moses didn't give you that bread. My Father is the one that gave it and continues to give it through the one that God sent to this world. And then they're fascinated and they're like, what? God is still giving out bread? And then they say, Lord, give us this bread, and don't ever stop giving it. And Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry again. Jesus was offering bread and nourishment that did not originate on this earth or come from human hands. It originated from heaven. Then the people started grumbling because Jesus was using language such as I am and from heaven. And that's kind of a big deal because Jesus was saying God sent him from heaven and equated himself with God. So Jesus is saying all this stuff and calling God his Father. And some said, wait a second, isn't this Jesus? We know his dad, Joseph. We know his mom, Mary. We know his family. We know where he lives. How is it that he can now say that he came from heaven? And in response, Jesus continues to claim his heavenly and divine origin, saying that no one can come to him except by being led to him by God. No one can learn from him except by being taught by God. And no one can see him except by revelation of God. Whatever we need to comprehend Jesus, to see who Jesus is, and not just what he does, must come to us from a divine gift, through revelation, and not by effort. It is through the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is talking to these people saying, here I am, standing right before you. If you ever wondered what God looked like, or what God looks like, if you ever wonder what God acts like, if you ever wonder what God talks like, then wonder no more, because God is standing right in front of you. In this faith, we don't have to climb up to the divine. God discloses and reveals and unveils and comes down to us through Jesus Christ. and sending God's Son to us. There is something in us, I believe, that likes to have our gods high and lifted up, kind of at a distance. And we're okay having them or thinking about them when they're in heaven. We want religion to be something spiritual, rather than something that is uncomfortably incarnational. Yet, here we are with this Jesus, this God in the flesh. And God is, and Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life, and you won't have to go hungry. Like many of you, I went to the grocery store a few days ago to stock up on some food. And I don't mean to people watch, and I don't mean to be nosy, but sometimes I look at what people have in their carts, because I think that tells me a lot about what they are like. For instance, when I was in the grocery store, there was this person who had a large cart, and it was full of veggies, it was full of fruit, such as carrots, apples, and oranges, and they also had meat in the cart, like chicken and ground beef, and they also had some potatoes in there. And you could really tell that this person was planning meals. They were planning ahead. And maybe this person had a family that she was buying items for the family, and she was buying items that would sustain her family, that would give their bodies the vitamins and the nutrients that they needed. But then I saw another cart, and this person also had a large cart, and it was filled with pop or soda, depending on which part of the United States you're from. It was filled with pop and soda, and it was filled with chips and baked goods such as cakes and brownies, and they were buying items that would solve their sugar fix and their sugar highs, but they would only sustain them for a little while. There was nothing in that cart that would fill them and give them the vitamins and the nutrients that they needed to get through their day. And it made me wonder about Jesus calling himself the bread of life. How many times in my life have I been in kind of the spiritual grocery store, if you will, and walk right by the bread of life aisle and go straight for the chips and the dip aisle of despair? Or how many times have I chosen not to sustain myself on the bread of life, which means connecting with God and relying on God and building a relationship with God, and just head for the donut section and binge on the self-loathing and the bitterness that I have? Our culture is a vast spiritual supermarket. And the shelves are lined with all sorts of things that we can buy. There's power, control, love, purpose. The list goes on. But could it be that maybe the one who stands before us, the one that we find in this story, this soon-to-be crucified and resurrected Jewish man, could this Jesus really be God in the flesh? The one that could really fulfill us? Could Jesus really be the bread of life that sustains us? My friends, it is my hope that you leave here with two things in mind today. One, when you are focusing on what God is doing, or in some cases not doing, and you're getting frustrated with God's action or lack of action, remember who God is. Remember God's character. And number two, the next time you are in a grocery store and you turn down the bread aisle, I really, really hope that the words, "Jesus is the bread of life," pops into your head. And when it does, think of all the other junk you could buy. Junk that doesn't fill you up, that doesn't sustain you. And then grab that loaf of bread, throw it in your cart, and remind yourself and say to yourself, "Today, this day, I choose the bread of life to sustain me." That is my hope. Amen. Before we're going to sing another song. And before we do that, I want to remind you that next week is Palm Sunday, and it is also Communion Sunday. And we will have palms. We ordered them. They couldn't stop their order. We will have palms, and you will see them. I don't know how I'm going to do it yet, but you will see them. And we will also have communion, but we are doing it in a very untraditional way. And some people might disagree with me, and that's okay. But for this time and in what we are dealing with right now, I believe that the Holy Spirit is bigger than our circumstance, and that the Holy Spirit connects us, whether we are physically together or physically apart. And so we are going to have communion over Facebook Live next week. And what I would like for you to do is, during that time, get a little piece of bread and something, a little something to drink. It doesn't have to be a certain type of bread or a certain type of juice. It can be a cracker. It can be a crouton. It can be anything. And the juice, it can be grape juice. It can be apple juice. It can be water. It can be coffee. And we're going to take that time and share communion together. For as far apart as we are, we are bonded through Christ, and we are connected, and so we will celebrate communion and honor that as our tradition. So I will send reminders out. I will make reminders, and we will do that next week. Some of you might know this song. It's an old, what I like to say, an oldie but a goodie. It's called "Just As I Am." And we're going to be singing three verses of that. "Just as I am, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest is come to me, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting and fears within, without, O God, we come before you today. Even though we are not physically together, you have joined us together. God, it is you that we have in common. And we thank you for protecting us. We thank you for being near to us during this time. God, we ask that you continue to be with those who have put themselves on the front line of this disease that is happening in our country and around the world. We pray for the doctors and the nurses and the medical professionals. We pray for those who are essential to us at this point in time. We pray for the truck drivers, the grocery store workers, the gas station attendants, the farmers. God, we ask that you give them strength, give them courage in helping them do what they need to do. God, we pray for those who are sick today. We pray for those who are lonely. We pray for those who may not have spoken to anybody in the last few days, and they're just simply lonesome. God, surround them with your presence. Give them strength. And now we pray from every part of the country today as we listen to this. We pray the words that your Son Jesus has taught us to say. Our God in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. There's one last song that I would like to do before we end our time together. And I think most people know this song, maybe, not sure. And we're just going to do this one verse. And it's called We Are One in the Spirit.
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our
May God the Creator be with you this week. May God the Son shine through you. And may God the Holy Spirit guide you in all that you do.